Well, good morning, everyone. How are you? Happy New Year. Belated Merry Christmas, if I didn't see you and get to say Merry Christmas to you. So 2022 is beginning. Yeah, people are already laughing. I don't know. How do you follow that up? I don't know. It's beginning. Let's just say that. It's going to start. And I'm sure you have New Year's resolutions. That's great. I hope that you do. And as Michelle said, we're going to start the year off in a series called In the Presence of God. In the Presence of God. And several months ago, I was talking with some people, and we got into a discussion on forgiveness and sin, and we got into a discussion on repentance, we got into a discussion on confession, and this person was telling me that what we really need most is to come to a place of confession and admit our weaknesses to God. And if we could do that, then change would happen. And as I begin to think about that, and I think about beginning 2022, and if we really want to see something change, confession is a good place to start. But as I pondered that, I thought to myself, well, what really brings about confession and repentance? I mean, what's the impetus for that? Is it just me deciding I want to be better in 2022? I want to do better. I want to say nicer things. I want to be more godly. I want to read my Bible more. And as the more I thought about it, the more I realized how stupid that was. There is nothing in me that is powerful enough to change my life. And so I believe prayer and confession and repentance are the answer for change. But I want to back up one more step as we start 2022 and talk about how do we even get to that place where you actually want to confess? I think it begins in the presence of God, isn't it? That's where it begins. You don't confess until you come face to face with God. You don't realize you need to change until you come face to face with God. You don't repent. You don't see anything until you're in the presence of God. And so for 2022, I would love to start this year with you in the presence of God. If you don't have a resolution, then make that your resolution. Would you pray as we begin and unlock God's word this morning? Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you've given your son for us, Lord. And as we dive into your word these next 5 weeks, but today in particular, and as we look at a story in scripture, Father, would we understand what it means to be in the presence of God? And Father, would you use this series, would you use this morning to start 2022 off the right way in your presence? We said this in your name. Amen. So welcome to all of you who have been here before. Welcome to those of you who are brand new, and to you online who are watching, welcome as well. And I'd like to start with the story of Moses, but before we do that, I want you to think about your life, okay? Now, some of you are only 12 years old, so this is not going to make any sense to you. It might seem foolish. Some of you are not 12. You might be a little bit older than that. But think about your life, and if you could take stock of your life, if you could maybe break it into sections, how has your life been going? I'm not looking for an answer. I'm just letting you think for a second. How has your life been? Maybe you think about the high school years and you go, oh, that was not good. Maybe from college to your 40s, you go, I think I did a little better. And maybe for some of you, as you get older than 40 and you're getting toward the end of years, you look back and you go, you know what? I've been really, really blessed. This morning, we're going to look at the story of Moses. And it's interesting because in the Bible, you can actually break his life into three sections of 40 years. Okay, if you do some mathematics and if you read through the scripture, you will find that Moses' life is broken into three 40-year periods of time. And they're all significant. The first 40 years he spent in Egypt. You could turn your Bibles to Exodus if you'd like to. This is found in Exodus 2. We'll be in Exodus 3 today. I encourage you to bring your Bible if you have one. I'm going to be using it. And so I'd just love for you to, if you want, bring your Bible, make some notes in there, okay? Use your phone, whatever you got to do. But Moses' life can be broken up into three parts. And the first part was his first 40 years in Egypt. And if you don't know the story, all the Hebrew male babies were supposed to be killed. Okay, the Pharaoh did not like these babies being born because the Israelite population was becoming so numerous that they were going to cause problems for the Egyptians. And so the solution was to exterminate all the male babies. And so that was Moses' first 40 years. He gets saved by his mom and his sister who put him in a basket, and he gets found by Pharaoh's daughter, and he's raised in Egypt. He's raised in the Pharaoh's court. He's raised to be well-educated. He speaks the language. He has access to everything possible. There's so much potential. He is a Jewish baby who is raised by the Egyptians. And if there was ever somebody who could help the Israelites at this time, it would have been Moses. But then we get to the second 40 years, and because of a foolish choice that Moses made, he flees to Midian. He spends the second 40 years of his life in Midian. He's not even known as a Hebrew or an Israelite anymore. In Exodus 2:19, a lady meets him and says, "There's an Egyptian." Moses has since lost his Israelite identity, and he's now just an Egyptian who's fled to Midian. And there's not much in the Bible about his second 40 years. In fact, there's only a few verses, and we don't see a whole lot. We don't see that God was even a priority in Moses' life. Now, he might have been a devout God follower. I don't know, because when I look at Exodus, I don't see that in the story for his second 40 years. It's almost as if Moses has taken the second 40 years of his life and completely squandered it. Now, I'll ask you to think about your life for a second, because I wonder if you feel that way. Can you look back on a period of your life and you feel like, I just really blew it. Really blew it. In that time in my life, I really blew it. The final 40 years of Moses' life are completely different. He faces off with the most powerful king in the entire known universe, the Pharaoh. God uses Moses to walk the Israelites through the Red Sea and toward the Promised Land. There's something so drastically different about Moses' last 40 years versus the middle that he seemed to squander in Scripture. And this morning, I want to share with you, I want to encourage you that wherever you are at in life, it does not matter what you have done, because there's still something to come. And so what was it that changed those last 40 years for Moses? And here's what it is. Look on the screen. It's that overly circle thing. So some of you are wondering how to change your life. There you go. Go home and start drawing overly circle things. Well, it's not true, because in this last period of time, something happened right before it. Right at that dash that we just circled, and that's Exodus chapter 3. So why don't you turn there? Remember, this series is about being in the presence of God, and for the previous 40 years, Moses may have been in the presence of God, but the Scripture is not clear. So I'm going to assume that he just fled to Midian and did absolutely nothing. It says this in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. "Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God." Let me stop right there. So that's where our story picks up. Moses has squandered his life. He's fled to Midian. He's now in exile. Actually, Pharaoh wants to kill him. And he's simply doing what he does. He met a woman. He had a child. He tends to his father-in-law's sheep. That's what we know about these 40 years. He tended sheep and got married. And so for 40 years, day after day after day, he walks sheep around. And he walks them this way, and he walks them that way, and he walks them over this hill and down to this ravine and to that river and to that stream. And then he goes home, and he wakes up, and he does the same old, same old. For 40 years, the same old thing. But it's about to change, isn't it? Verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. Verse 3, and Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And for 40 years, he just did the same old, same old. He had run away from where God put him in Egypt to tend sheep in the wilderness. We don't know if he even had a relationship with God. But at the end of those 40 years in Midian, God shows up in a bush. This is the Euonymus elata compacta tree. But you see, when Moses was writing down the scriptures, he said, Lord, that's too hard. Can we just call it a burning bush? And the Lord said, fine. We don't even know if it was a burning bush. We just know that it was a bush that was on fire. And so you can see we have a bush here. And imagine this being completely engulfed in flames, and yet it doesn't burn at all. It's impressive. And this one's not in bloom, but when it's in bloom, it's bright and brilliant red, this tree right here. And so Moses is tending sheep, doing the same old, year after year, day after day. He's probably walked past this bush many times. And today, it's on fire. And so he stops. Seems reasonable to stop and look at a bush that's burning but not burning up. And so as he gets near the bush, the Lord calls to him, Moses, Moses. And here's when the next 40 years for him changes. He says, here I am. I don't know what your last 40 years have been. I don't know what your last year, two, three. I don't know. But what I know is when the Lord shows up and the Lord calls to you and you say, here I am, that's when the next 40 look different. That's when the next 40 look different. And Moses finds himself in the presence of God. Having abandoned God for 40 previous years, he finds a burning bush, and the bush talks to him, and he says, here I am. Now, you can't miss this. In Scripture, in your Bible, it probably just has a period at the end of that. And I don't want you to miss this, because it's not like Moses was some teenage boy whose parents had come home and said, how was your day? And he was just like, fine, fine. That is not Moses' response to the Lord. Moses' response is like that of a little kid when Santa Claus is coming by on the fire truck and throwing out lollipops in your neighborhood. Moses is like, here I am. It's me. God, it's me. Hey, hey, it's Moses. God's like, I know. Okay, just want you to know it's me. I'm here. And that's when it begins to change. Moses finds himself in the presence of a burning bush, in the presence of God, and he cries out, here I am. For 40 years before that, nothing. But in this moment, here I am. I'd like to encourage you, I'd like to challenge you as you begin 2022 and you begin to enter the presence of God, please don't do it. Please don't do it. With a carefree attitude. Please don't do it with a lackadaisical heart. If you truly want to see God work in your life, come to God as Moses did, exclaiming, here I am, expectant that he is going to work and that he is going to move, because he can and he will if you engage with him. If you are in the presence of God, you have to say, here I am. You can't just say, hey, thanks for showing up, God. I'm busy. I got something to do today. So often we dismiss God. We wonder where God is. We wonder why God doesn't show up in our life. We wonder why things don't change in our families, in our marriages, at school, at work. And we wonder all this stuff. But I wonder if we actually get into the presence of God and really care to meet with him. I don't know how you're planning on starting 2022, but I would encourage you to be excited about meeting with the Lord. And so God begins to speak with Moses. He says in verse 5, "Then he said, 'Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground.'" And he said, verse 6, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And all of a sudden, everything changes. Everything changes for Moses. The Lord begins to speak. He begins to understand whose presence he is. He hides his face. He understands for the first time in probably a long time that the place that he is at is actually a holy place. Because there is a holy God there. And we're going to talk about the holiness of God next week in detail. And he's talking to a bush. He squandered his 40 years, the last 40 years. And begins to engage with the Lord. And the Lord tells him first to take off your shoes, the sandals, because the place that you are standing on is holy ground. There's something different about this place now. Remember back in verse 1, Moses was just doing the same old, same old. He was just living out the mundane. He was waking up. He was going to his job. He was coming home to his family. He was having dinner. He was going to bed. He was waking up. He was going to his job. He just kept doing the same old, over and over. He probably walked by that bush over and over again. But on this day, that bush and that place was different. Why? Because the Lord was there, wasn't he? The Lord was there. The Lord was there. And that spot became holy ground. And it was so holy that it caused Moses to hide his face. Because he understood who God was and who he was. Because he was in the presence of God. Because when God called to him, he didn't say, "I'm busy." What he said was, "Here I am, Lord." And he began to understand things a little differently. He began to see things a little bit differently. Maybe he reflected on the last 40 years a little bit differently. Maybe he had hope for the next 40 years that he didn't have before. And I got to thinking, I was just reading through this story here, what was the area or diameter of the holiness circle, right? It always intrigued me. Like, God said this is holy ground, and so I'm like, all right, well, is it 10 feet around the bush? Is it 20 feet? Is it 12? Is it 7? 7's the Lord's number. I mean, how many feet around the bush was holy? Why don't you turn to Psalm 139 for a second? I think you'll find this challenging, hopefully exciting, interesting. Psalm 139 is a psalm written by David, and in this psalm, David is just in awe of who God is and what God knows and the intimate details of life and where he's at. And so I want to read Psalm 139 to you. If you don't have a Bible, it's up here on the screen. David is contemplating the Lord, and he says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And if I say, 'Surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me,' even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." You can leave that up there on the screen for a minute. David is contemplating who God is, and what he's discovering is that God is everywhere. This past summer, I was at a retreat center. I was at a camp called Sandy Cove, and I was speaking, and the lady who was in charge of the speakers brought everyone up on stage and asked us all a question, and she asked me the question, "Where is God?" And I was like, "Oh, no, like, how do you answer that question?" And I gave an answer that was so horrible that my wife made fun of me. And I was mortified, and I felt terrible. Like, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, like, you know, I got a master's degree in the Bible. Like, I should be able to answer that question. And all I said was, "He's with us." I was so perturbed by what I said that I spent the next day just contemplating that question, "Where is God? Where is God?" over and over. And I came to Psalm 139. And what you see David saying is this: where could I go from you, God?
Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I actually get away from you, right? Like when I just need a break from you, Lord, like where can I go to get away? And he says, well, if I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I go vertical, guess what? God's there. Can't go that way. I know. If I make my bed in the depths of the sea, in the deepest deep, if I go down, no, God's still there. So I can't go vertical. I can't go down because God is there. Well, what if I settle on the far side of the sea? What if I go that way? No, he's there. And I already went to where the dawn rises on the wings. I already went east and west. So now I can't go north. I can't go south. I can't go east. I can't go west. Like, where can I go? I got it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find darkness. I'm going to hide in the darkness from God. If I can't geographically get away from God, I'm going to hide in the darkness. And Psalm 139 says, even in the darkness, it's like light. So where is God? As I contemplated that question at Sandy Cove, and I read through this psalm, I came to the conclusion that God is inescapable. Isn't that true? God is inescapable. So let's go back to Exodus chapter 3 for a second. God told Moses that the place he was standing was holy ground and to take off his sandals. And I began to think to myself, is it 5 feet, 7 feet, 12 feet, 20 feet? How far is that holy presence go out from where the Lord is? I think the answer is he's inescapable. The presence of God is inescapable. I would love for you to know this morning, as we start out 2022, as we talk about being in the presence of God, know this, if you don't remember anything else today, except a bush on stage and one thing I said, then remember this: God is everywhere. He's everywhere. Even when you might have squandered the last 40 years. And if God is everywhere and the presence of God makes that moment in Exodus 3 holy ground, then I began to think a little bit more. What else could be holy ground? What if it's the mundane? Remember that job that you got to get up and go to tomorrow? Students, school starts tomorrow. You know that school you got to go to tomorrow? The mundane, the things that we just do over and over and over, kind of how Moses started out Exodus 3, verse 1, doing the same old over and over, ho-hum, I'm a shepherd, doing my job again, blah, 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 I'm Moses. It's exactly how he acted. I could see it. Exactly. And then for the first time, he begins to realize, hey, wait a second. Wait a second. God's in this place. Wait a second. When you get up and go to work tomorrow, guess what? Guess who's there? God. Hey, when you go to school tomorrow, guess who's there? God. When you sit down to have dinner tonight, if you go out to a restaurant, guess who's there? It's not a trick question. Come on, play along. Good job. Smartest group. And I kind of got excited because I started thinking about all the mundane things in my life. You know, in 2022, we talk about resolutions and how we want things to be new and different and exciting. And I kind of started thinking, I kind of like the mundane. I kind of like the same old, excuse me. But see, I like the same old now because I see the same old as something different. Why? Because God is there. God is there. And that is what Moses discovered. In the midst of him squandering 40 years of his life, he discovers in this moment that God is there, that God is everywhere. And everywhere that God is holy ground. And just like Moses, I hope that tomorrow you wake up and you realize that you are on holy ground when you walk into your school building, when you walk into your work, when you go to the food store, when you go to the doctor's appointment, when you visit your neighbor, whatever it is that you're doing tomorrow, guess what? That's holy ground. Why? Because God is there and God is everywhere and you can't get away from him. He's inescapable. Now here's the key though. Many of us won't acknowledge God tomorrow, will we? We won't. We'll wake up and completely forget that he's even there. And if we remember that he's there, how many of us tomorrow morning, when you wake up and you start your day and you arrive at the place that you need to be tomorrow morning, how many of you are going to go, "Hey, God, here I am. It's me, remember?" Wouldn't it be interesting? Just this week. Let's just try this week, okay? Wouldn't it be interesting this week to wake up tomorrow, and if you're at the bus stop with your kids, before anyone gets there, you start doing this. "Hey! Hey!" And everyone thinks you're waving at them. You're like, "Oh, no, no, it's talking to him." Wouldn't that be cool at your office tomorrow, before everyone gets there, to recognize that that place is holy and say, hey, I'm here, God. And to do what? To recognize his presence, right? What did Moses do? He had to take off his shoes. And so what if this place was holy as well? What if this place right now, right here, was holy as well? Because we're in the presence of the living God. And I don't care what your 2021 was. Whatever you've done that you think squandered your life, squandered your year, doesn't matter, because the presence of God is here in 2022. He is here in this place. And right now, all of you are in the presence of a living God. And this is holy ground. So take off your shoes and tell him that you are here. There's one more thing we need to know, though. This is just as important as everything else we talked about. Let's finish out to verse 10. So I'm in verse 7 of Exodus 3. "Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites." Verse 9, "And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them." Verse 10, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And that's where we're going to end this morning. You can keep reading Moses' story if you'd like, but that's where we're going to end this morning. Moses had squandered 40 years. He did. But what he came to realize is that the presence of God was there. And when he realized God's presence was there, he said, "Here I am, Lord." And he took off his sandals. And you know what he did in verses 7 through 10? He shut his mouth and he listened, didn't he? And what he discovered was that God had a new purpose for him. What he discovered was that God had something amazing in store for him. That God was going to use him to rescue the Israelites from the hand of the Egyptians who were oppressing them. Even though Moses had spent 40 years in Midian doing absolutely nothing, it was in this moment that God said, "I have something new for you, Moses, if you are willing." And Moses said, "Here I am." And he took off his sandals and he listened. 2022 has begun. And the best way to start this year is in the presence of God. And today, I just want you to realize that you are in the presence of God everywhere you go. He is inescapable. You cannot get away from him. Whether you like that or not, doesn't matter. He's there. Whether you engage with him or not is up to you. Whether you take off your sandals is up to you. Whether you listen or not is up to you. But I don't know if there's a better way to start 2022 than realizing that God is here. Wherever you've been in the past, no matter how far you might have run from God, no matter how bad you think your life is, no matter the things that you've done that you think are terrible and horrible, guess what? God is still there, and he wants to meet with you. Let me encourage you with a few things here that'll be up on the screen. I know some of you like practical bullet points and steps, so here we go. How to live in the presence of God this week. Number one, I hope you realize that God is everywhere. Wherever you go, he is there. When you realize that, I hope that tomorrow, today, you will engage with God. I hope that you will say, "Here I am." And I'd love to hear that some of you went ridiculous and jumped up and down and waved your hands.
I encourage you to take off your shoes. I know this is weird. I know some of you don't like feet. That's fine. It's okay. You have them, though. So you might as well use them in worship of the Lord. I encourage you to take off your shoes. I'm not kidding. If you have an office and you can get there in the morning and you can shut the door, just do it. Take off your shoes. Walk to the bus stop barefoot. I don't know, first period. Slip your shoes off under the desk real quietly. And then lastly, I want you just to listen this week as you do that. Wherever you go, whatever place you find yourself in, engage with God, take off your shoes, and listen for 30 seconds, for a minute, for hours. I don't know, okay? I'm not the judge and jury on how long you should do this. I just telling you what I see in Scripture, and so I'd like for you to practice what we see in Scripture, and so let's do that this week. I see some of you shaking your head. Good. I've got you. So now I'm going to let you do it right now. See, I don't want you to walk out of here and then be like, oh, yeah, I should practice what Bobby said tomorrow. No, guess what? You get a chance to practice it right now. So we know that the presence of God is here. I want to give you a few minutes as Alex plays on the piano to engage with God. If you want, take off your shoes. Go ahead. I already did it. And then I want you to listen. And after that, we're going to sing and we'll do communion together. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is poured out for you as the new covenant in my blood." I'm intrigued that Jesus said he would not do these things again until it was fulfilled in the kingdom. And I want to tell you this morning as we take communion, it's a reminder, the blood is a new covenant that Jesus died for you. And the bread, if you've not taken it, go ahead and take it, is a reminder that Christ's body was broken on a cross for you. And it was those two things, his spilled blood and his broken body on the cross for you, it was his death and resurrection that is enough. That is what fulfills all things. If you're here this morning and you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've come to church today, or if you're watching online and you've come to church because you want to make a new start, you want to be a better person, just stop and put your faith in Jesus and what he has done. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you for today and being together, and thank you for the blessings of your Scripture. Thank you for the blessing of your presence. Father God, we acknowledge that you are here and you will be with us tomorrow. You will be everywhere, God. Father, as we start 2022, would we just say hello to you? Would we engage in your presence, Lord? Would we listen to your voice? Father God, would you begin to do a mighty work in our hearts as we enjoy your presence? In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next week.